From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. What does a college education mean to California? Well, here's an interesting statistic to consider. If just 2% more of our citizens earned associate degrees and 1% more earned bachelor's degrees, the state's economy would conceivably grow by $20 billion. Thinking of that and all the other information available to them with the United Voice of Advocacy, leaders of the UC system, the CSUs, and the community colleges in California are, at this moment, in a day-long blitz of the state capitol to rally support for the funding of higher education. Yesterday, University of California President Mark Udoff came to our Insight studio for an open conversation about the state of the UCs. I started the interview by asking, what's the message?
The message is enough is enough. The University of California has lost about $1 billion. So has Cal State over the last 4 or 5 years. Community colleges may serve as many as 400,000 fewer students. The future of California lies in education, and right now we don't have it right.
How much of the answer lies in the governor's tax initiative?
Well, I've endorsed the tax initiative. That may be controversial with many of your listeners. I can't say, but I'm looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the issue for me is how do we move along? And I thought revenue enhancers combined with some judicious reductions should get us through. We're a state of almost $2 trillion economy. We ought to be able to solve this problem. We're not Greece.
You asked the entire UC board to endorse the tax initiative. Where does that process sit with the entire board?
I think the board is waiting for the governor's revised budget and for the submission. I felt it was important to go first because even if California's University of California's revenues do not increase, I think it's good for the state. We have simply got to get this economic morass behind us. So win, lose, or draw, I think we need to have that enhancer. And I've recommended to the Board of Regents, and probably at the July meeting it'll be considered, but we shall see.
What does it get you to be outspoken now, which is different from the approach that you and others in the office have taken in the past?
Well, I don't know what it gets us. One can always be the optimist. You can't hold my job without being an optimist. But I've watched our budget deteriorate over the last 4 years. We're down from a little over $3 billion to a little over $2 billion. I've seen the students have to pay more than the state is now contributing. That's very unfair, in my opinion. So I'm hoping that I can help put us on a more constructive course. But there really are no guarantees, Beth. I have to admit that, too. I thought it was worth a shot to try to get a better fiscal balance in the state. And it's so important to the state because we're never going to be the low tax. We're never going to be the low wage state. We're never going to be the low regulation state. We just have to be smarter. And that means we got to get our young people into the community colleges in Cal State and University of California and have them start businesses and join companies and do the arts and run for public office and participate in nonprofits. So that's sort of my message. You know, we're not going to consume our way out of this. We're not going to cut our way out of this. We got to educate our way out of it.
So lobbying the lawmakers, what do you hope to gain by that when the governor's tax initiative is going to go to the ballot and the real people ultimately to convince are your neighbors?
I was in Redding and Chico recently. I'll be in Fresno. I've been down to Los Angeles. I've been visiting high schools, Grant High School in Sacramento a while back, Roosevelt High School in Los Angeles. And I appear on the doorstep of our elected representatives and try to make the case. So it is a repetitive process, but I keep doing it, hoping that at some point the message will take hold and we'll be able to support the greatest university system in the world.
It seems as though every week there's a different poll gauging the voter response to this tax initiative. How closely are you watching it, and what are your political concerns about the UC system if it doesn't pass?
We will be in very bad shape if it doesn't pass. We're down about $1 billion, including $100 million we were down in January without any tuition increase. If it doesn't get on the ballot or it fails, I'm told we may be down another $200 million. I don't think we're privatizing university in the sense of our mission. We still enroll 40% low-income students. The tuition may be $11,000, but the sticker price, but the average tuition actually paid is $4,400 a year. But if we're down another $200 million, we have to do something draconian. It will have an impact on faculty hiring, on student services. It will have an impact on time to degree, and it will have an impact on tuition. You cannot push these budgets down this way and say it's going to be cost-free in terms of consequences.
The high admission of out-of-state students. Let's talk about that spike. I think that news is fairly recent.
The truth is, sitting here today, we are 7% non-residents. If you want to go to Virginia, it's a third or more. If you go to University of Michigan, it's probably closer to 40%. Second, they pay $30,000+ a year. And if we're starving to death to address the needs of California residents, it does help pay the bills. But 7% is not out of control. Now, we have to watch it carefully. I understand
you
that.
You do have a cap, don't
we
you?
We have a 10% cap. Mm-hmm. And it's distributed. It's not distributed evenly across all the campuses. I do admit that Berkeley's been going up more than some of the others.
UC San Diego, I think, has a very high figure.
Yeah, well, maybe percentage increase, but they have a very low figure in terms of where they are
right.
Today.
You're right. It is a 75% increase.
But the base was very low. So we'll have to watch it. But, you know, we're trying. It's very hard. I mean, we're in a situation where people say, well, we don't like the non-resident numbers going up. We don't you dare raise tuition, even though the actual cost is $4,400 a year as opposed to $11,300. And by the way, we don't like the taxes and we don't like the appropriations. And we're trying hard. Look, we're doing the efficiencies and we're doing our IT systems together. And my office is down a third in its size. I've cut. But at the end of the day, there's going to be no free lunch. We have to figure out a way to pay for this great university system. The master plan works. That's the good news. The bad news is no one wants to fund it.
I'm speaking with UC President Mark Udoff, and you mentioned your office. One of the criticisms is the salary, the compensation packages for the upper echelon of administration in the UC system, the presidents, the chancellors. What about that criticism?
You know, it's hard for the truth to catch up to the lie. If you were to speculate how many chancellors have gotten a raise in the last 4 years, from the newspapers, you'd believe a whole bunch. The answer is zero. Not one chancellor, not one sitting chancellor has gotten $1, nor have I gotten $1 raise. Our administrative salaries, I'm having a hard time, I'm recruiting for chancellors now, are one-third below national levels. Our faculty is about 10 to 15% below national levels. Our administration is a third. I froze all salaries over $200,000. The only reason you read these stories is because out of 180,000 employees, sometimes we counteroffer to keep key people, primarily in the medical enterprise, and 8 or 9 of them may get a raise, and the papers blow it up and say, oh, there they go again. The empty suits are getting all the money. The only consistent pattern of raises in our university is represented employees. So the only ones that have gotten 2 or 3 or 4% a year. All the others, it's been episodic, and relatively few people get raises, and the top echelons basically are frozen. It is true that new chancellors tend to get higher salaries than the old ones, but the old ones didn't get raises. So if the old chancellor has been there, the incumbent has been there for 5 or 10 years, and you pay 10% more for the new one, you can understand that. The world goes on and there's inflation and there's competition. But no one wants to talk about the markets. I have to deal with markets. Half of our budget's in the medical centers. You know, you can freeze salaries, but then all the neurosurgeons, we're not going to be competitive for the neurosurgeons and the orthopods and the general practitioners and all the rest. This is a problem because we're not insulated. We're not an island apart from all these marketplaces. In my eyes, I wouldn't pay baseball players more than school teachers. I think school teachers are more valuable. But, you know, that's the world I live in.
What will tuition rate hikes look like if the governor's initiative passes compared to if it doesn't pass?
Well, what we're talking to the governor about is actually a tuition buyout for 2012-13, which means if long last, the students wouldn't see any increase. Now, there's nothing written in stone. I really mean we are talking. There's no agreement. Nothing has passed. But it's robust, this idea. If in November we end up with a $200 million additional reduction. And the students are paying $500 million more than the state. We will slash and slash and slash. But I think there's a significant probability of a double-digit increase in January, which is so unfair. I mean, it's mid-year. Families have made their plans. It's terrible. I'm very worried about it, but I'm hoping Californians will rise to the occasion.
What are you looking at for this fall?
Anything can happen in politics and budgets, but I have no plans right now to submit any tuition increase for 12-13. But we have to see what happens in the fiscal and budgetary processes.
I'm speaking with the University of California President Mark Udoff, and I'd like to shift the subject just a little bit and talk about the pepper spray report with regard to UC Davis. Are you satisfied with the public discourse that came following the report?
I think Justice Reynoso did a brilliant job. I stayed out of it. I didn't read the report until after it was completed. I did fight pretty hard to get it disclosed publicly. What the heck is the point of having an investigation if you can't release it to the public? And I thought the Kroll report was very balanced and fair, although very critical, I thought. So all that's good. I think Chancellor Katehi is taking the steps that she needs to take. I'm going to send all the chancellors and me to school. You know, we're law professors and engineers and astrophysicists. You know, we weren't trained in what questions they asked the police about force and what the strategy should be in the afternoon and the different types of nonviolent protest and so forth. So I think we need better training. We need better chain of command. We need more observers. We need more uniform rules. And I think we'll get there. By and large, I think the report was such a thorough job. I think the conversation afterwards among the various constituent groups has been excellent. A very rich dialogue. And by the way, this is a nationwide problem. I mean, the use of pepper spray is relatively common. We will be releasing a medical report on its consequences done at the University of California, San Francisco. So we're looking every place we can.
The Chancellor, Linda Katehi, has been very forthright about accepting responsibility for her role in her decision. It was also suggested to us in those days right after the report came out that perhaps more of the blame lies with the broader UC system and your office in particular. And the reason they say that is because of that event on the Berkeley campus 3 or 4 days prior, that it was such an either urgent or emergency type of event that perhaps there needed to be a very quick UC response to put some kind of protocol in place that would have helped the UC Davis event not happen.
Well, I can't go into all the details, and I don't know. I mean, the truth is, I mean, normally I'm happy to take the responsibility. You know, the police departments report to the chancellors. And in fact, we had meetings of the chancellors, and we sent out communications on what the protocols should be. But the direct responsibility is not there, and I think everyone understands that. I mean, in my office, I don't tell the chancellors when they need to call the police out or, you know, what is creating safety hazards or disruptions of the campus. That has to be on the ground. We probably will have additional centralized protocols now, and we'll see if that helps. But these are difficult problems.
But do you see a time coming when there is more of a system-wide protocol, or there is establishment of some procedure that can work on all of the campuses to some degree?
I think there'll be some additional protocols. Mm-hmm. And by the way, those protocols would involve other police agencies. But at the end of the day, you need good judgment on the campuses. You need well-trained officers and good judgment, and you need chancellors sensitive to the rights of the students and so forth. We're not going to protocol our way out of this. We need to do better than we've been doing. But the element of judgment will always be there. And there may be some situations in which there are differing conditions on different campuses.
Families are trying to send their kids to school. That's part of the American dream. And there's so much frustration. And we're in a state that's struggling with the budget. Where do you want people to put their frustration? What do you want them to do with it?
Well, I do feel badly, and I worry a lot about families in California, and you know, we do a very good job. We have 40% of our kids are low income. Berkeley has more low income students than the whole Ivy League. We do a pretty good job with our Blue and Gold program. You don't pay tuition if it's under $80,000. I think the people need to put the pressure mostly on Sacramento. At the end of the day, I'm sure we could be more efficient, and I'm sure that we could be better stewards, and we're trying as hard as we know how. But at the end of the day, we are at the same appropriation. We're at a lower appropriations level than we were in 2007 and 8. We have 75,000 students more than we had 10 years ago. We have 60% less per student to spend. So this is not working. We could probably see 10, 20, 30,000 more Californians at UC if we only could have the buildings to accommodate them and the professors. Everyone loves Merced. It's a baby campus. It's doing great. The only problem with Merced is not enough professors and not enough classrooms. That's the problem that Chancellor Leland has. Davis is different. Davis is the leading agricultural university in the world. It has exquisite qualitative standards. It's a leader in plant genetics. Everyone's happy riding a bicycle. It's actually a very relaxed campus when we don't have these terrible episodes. But I think at the end of the day, Davis could accommodate more students if we could just get the budgetary picture right.
Throughout the system, nearly 70% of students receive some sort of financial aid. Is that a correct number?
Yeah, over half our students pay no tuition at all. And so it's not that I prefer. Someone once said, well, you don't believe in the master plan. You want high tuition and high financial aid. And my response was no. I want the master plan. I like the good old days. Low tuition, high state subsidy, and we're making it work. I don't want to raise tuition, and I don't want it to be high tuition, high financial aid. But if you starve this university to death, it will become a mediocre university. And at the end of the day, we will lose professors. We will lose programs. You know, it took 140 years to build this place, but I'm afraid in 5 or 10 years it could be destroyed. And that's my worry.
Again, that was UC President Mark Udoff. We thank him for the conversation. We have links to some of the UC source material on our website, which is capradio.org/insight. And we'd like to know what you think. You can email, Facebook, or Twitter us. You'll find links to all three of those, again, through our website. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio. Coming up, more from Stockton about that illegal CalPERS benefit we told you about.